Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Tonight we would like to learn about building God's community or building a church. And this is a burden that God has for the end time. In the Old Testament, God commanded Moses to build a tabernacle. And then he told David to build a temple, to be a dwelling place of his Holy Spirit, so that God can dwell among the people of God, the children of Israel. But now, we are not building a church temple or a tabernacle, the physical tent or a building, but we are building people. And people are the temple of God. And when people come together, we become collectively a temple of God together. So God's desire is still wanting to live and dwell in the midst of his people and inside his people. So if we want to please God, we will participate in building his temple or his community. The longer I become a Christian, the longer I serve God and I know Jesus, the more I am convinced that it is so important to build a good local church in a city or in a community. Because God's people will never grow, will never move forward if they are by themselves. If they are not joining a local church, people will never grow. People will never be set free. People will never attain to the whole fullness of Christ. So it's God's will that everyone must join a local church. And the local church, as we are part of local church, we all put an effort together by the help of the Holy Spirit with our commitment to build a godly community. That when people come in, they will be saved, they will be delivered, they will grow, they will be trained. So I count building the church as a privilege, as the most important thing we can do in life is to build a local church. I'm so excited and I'm so thankful that God is using all of us to build this local church and many churches in different cities. I'm excited that in 1.5 years, I pray that we're going to have a team, at least 4 or 5 people, go to Tokyo and start a church. I think you already read the email, some of you, that Tokyo, Japan is in trouble spiritually. That people committed suicide. They even, Yukie emailed us and say that they even have a website that people can contact each other so that they can come together to kill themselves together as a group. And Miyako told Pastor Da she's going to go back to Japan for a month. She told Pastor Da that she is so scary to go back because right now when the robber came into a shop and want to rob, they were not only rob and stab on the side, but they will cut the throat and want to definitely make sure that the owner of the place will be killed. And this is a common thing in Tokyo right now. So Tokyo is in, Japan is in spiritual darkness. And I believe that we cannot just go and talk about religious principle and just go and teach the word of God and build a nice community. We need to go with the power of God. We need to go and kick the devil out of there. We need to go with the fire of God. You know, I'm so glad I can see that why the church in Bangkok grows so fast. Because the pastor welcomed the fire of God and welcomed the power of the Holy Spirit. People need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot just have good teaching. That's why Paul say in his writing to First Corinthians, in the book of First Corinthians, he said, my speech and my preaching is not of persuasive words of human wisdom, but by the demonstration of the power and of the Spirit, so that your faith will not rest upon the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So even Paul was convinced that as the end time church, we cannot just move by teaching the word, but we need to move by the power, by the fire of God. And that's why I'm so convinced that we are going the right direction. Amen. So we will go to many cities all over the world one day. I'm excited one day we're going to reach to many cities. We're going to have missionaries go out to Europe, to South Africa, to different nations. And we will go and check the nation. Amen. So today we want to learn more practical points how to build God's community. Let me read this scripture to you in James chapter 3 verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The Bible talks about the fruit of righteousness, talking about peace here. God wants us to have peace in the local church. Is that right? God wants us to live together in peace. And one of the fruit of the righteousness is to make peace. God wants us to get along. In other words, if we make it a simple word, is that when we should build a community that people will be able to learn how to get along even though we are different. Actually, there is the translation, message translation that expand a little bit more in James chapter 3 verse 18. I read that translation to you. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its result only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. This is a expanding message, you know. That's what I call message. Treating each other with dignity and honor. I love it. You know, very clear. This translation tried to tell us that we need to do a hard work of getting along with each other. Treating each other with dignity and honor. Yeah, if you can do that, this is a sign of maturity. When you become more mature, you will treat other people with respect, with honor, and then you will be able to get along. You will make, the Bible says you need to do a hard work. In other words, getting along with one another is not automatic. Because we come from different backgrounds, it takes me many years and take a lot of effort for me to get along with Pastor Da. Because Pastor Da and I, we came from different backgrounds, it took us many years to learn how to get along. And the same thing in the church, we need to learn how to get along, doing a hard work of getting along by treating each other with honor and dignity. Amen. Amen. So remember this, treat everyone in the church with honor, with dignity. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, New King James Version say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship. But in the message, translation say, they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostle and the life together, the common meal. In other words, they eat together, they have a common meal together, they try to share life together. When you read these two passages of scripture, you can see that from the scriptural point of view, in order to build a local church or in order to build God's community together, we need two things to work together. It cannot be one hand, but it has to be two hands. Two-handed situation here. Two-handed. One is commitment. Amen. Everyone say commitment. That's why the Bible talked a while ago that I read that we work hard. We make a commitment. We make a commitment. It's a choice that we're gonna build real fellowship, real community. So that's our part. Everyone say, it's my part. To make a choice. To make a commitment. But the other part, the other hand, is the work of the Holy Spirit. I noticed that when we welcome the Holy Spirit into the church, there is less strife and less carnality. Amen. Less fighting. In fact, I have already proven that. You know, don't take me wrong about that. I love River of Life Church more than your guy. You know, I loved you very much. But I see that, I prove that in Bangkok, that because that church is so new and it's so proven, because when we started the church, a lot of people who were joining in questioned me, Pastor Lau, how are we going to build without a lot of programs and a lot of activities in the afternoon? Wow, your new church in Bangkok did not have a lot of activities in the afternoon, like this program, that program, this program, this program. But Pastor Noom answered them that we don't need a lot of program because the Holy Spirit show up. And when the Holy Spirit show up, people love one another and people just hang out in the room without going home. Sometimes they stay until 2 p.m. without eating lunch. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings the unity, brings the create the real fellowship. We cannot create a real fellowship without welcoming the Holy Spirit. And that is recorded in the Bible, that what I say here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, you are joined together with peace through the Spirit. So, firsthand, Holy Spirit, make us united. So make every effort to continue together in this way. The other hand, make every effort. Amen. So you notice that I use all kind of technology to make this effort. I email all of you. I try to put my heart into you. So we try to make sure that we think the same way. We move the same way. We go the same direction. We're going to be united. I use all this email to you, send to you. I cannot send to everyone. I depend on the care group leader to forward the email. But I want to create. I make every effort. Sometimes it took me a while to write one email to make sure that I use the right word. I don't offend anyone. I don't make people misunderstand me. You know, because we want to make an effort to build the unity and commitment in the local church. But the other hand, the Holy Spirit will do that part. In Amplified Bible, I read from NCV a while ago. Now I read from Amplified Bible. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness and produce by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Wow. You can see that we need both. Our commitment, our effort. Everyone say, my effort. Number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I believe that we come together, love one another by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, we make decision to do so. Amen. Now, you need to understand this. That why we need to learn this lesson. Why we need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in reality, not everyone was well trained to grow up in a healthy family. I was one of them. I grew up in a broken home. My mom and my dad didn't get along. It's easier for Pastor Da to get along with people and build that kind of unity, because she grew up in a very warm family. Her dad and mom love each other. She and her brother and sister really get along very well, even though sometimes they fight. They were fighting, but they get along and they love each other. They will, you know, in her family, if somebody in trouble, they will pull money out and help one another right away. There's no problem with helping one another in that home. But in my family, we all very independent. We all live by our own self. We are not connected. So I was growing up in an unhealthy family. So I lack what we call social skill. I really lack relational skill. And a lot of you, the same thing. You lack social skill. You lack relational skill. Because you even grow up in a healthy home, but your parents are not very socialized. They just stay home every day. You stay home with them and you don't know how to relate to people outside. So that's why it takes some energy to learn, to teach people. That's why the Bible is full of instruction of how to get along with one another. Because God knows that a lot of us are not perfect and we did not grow up in the healthy surrounding or environment in a family. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 15, I am writing these things to you so you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. Paul said, I write all these things to you so you can learn how to get along. So that's why we look into the Bible and learn how to get along. Amen. I don't want any fake relationship in this church. I want to cultivate real fellowship and a loving community. Amen. We want to have a real loving community in this church. Definitely, it's a tough job. It takes effort and tears and energy and risk. You need to take the risk of doing that job. Amen. Now, first of all, I want to share this. What the Bible says about how to build a real community. To build a real community, we need frankness. F-R-A-N-K-N-E-S-S. Frankness. Or what? Honesty. In other words, we need to speak truthfully to one another in love. It's human nature that we want to ignore the truth. And we want to ignore when we see something wrong in another person's life because we don't want to be hated or we don't want people to reject us. So it's human nature that when we see something wrong in people's life, we don't want to open our mouth and go and speak to that person truthfully. We try to just push things under the carpet and pretend that nothing happened. In other words, we ignore the issue. It's much easier to be silent because we don't want to be harmed. We don't want to take a risk. We want to be silent. We just keep everything quiet here. But actually, if we don't speak to one another truthfully, in an honest way, we are producing self-destructive community. I thank God one thing that all these 25 years of marriage, I and Pastor Da make a decision since we first got married that we're going to be very open to each other in every single issue. And it's true. I got nailed so many times. I got nailed on the cross so many times that Pastor Da will come to my face and speak to me what's wrong with me. And I remember many years ago, I was very defensive and I tried to argue because I'm a man. How come the lady tell me what's wrong with me? But lately I become more and more humble that I will repent and admit my fault very fast. And we open to each other. If I don't see anything right, I will tell her too. And we just talk one-on-one and we just deal with it. We just try to resolve it as soon as possible. We try to be honest to each other. We don't hide anything from one another. We are very honest. And that's one of the reasons I thank God that God teaches this and keep us to have good marriage. And I believe that one of the common problems that we face in not walking in honesty toward one another is the issue of fear. We fear to say something. We fear to lose friendship. We fear to lose member. Sometimes when Pastor Da talk to each other, should we talk about that? Because if we talk to that person, he may leave the church. You know, sometimes we fear, I'm a human being. So sometimes I have that feeling that if I talk to some person in a very open way, he may leave the church. And we will lose membership and people get discouraged again in the church. Oh, people leave the church again. But sometimes we need to take that risk and go and talk to that person and resolve it and take a courage to speak up. You know? Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15. Rather, let our life lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way, in all things into Him who is the head, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen. So, we can see here that God wants us to speak truthfully. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26, in New Living Translation, it is an honor to receive an honest reply. Is that right? The Bible says it is an honor to receive an honest reply. So it's good to be honest. One of the principles I use in my practice as a medical practice is that I will be very honest to my patient. Everything I will put on the table right away before I cut on somebody. And if they don't like it, they can go to another doctor. But I want to be upfront and honest. And actually, what happened is that people really like it because I was very upfront and honest with them. So we need to be very honest. Speak truthfully in love. We cannot build a godly community without being honest to one another. In another translation, the Bible says an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. How many people want true friends? We want true friends. So if we want true friends, we need to be honest to one another. Speaking honestly to one another means we care enough to lovingly communicate to the one who is sinning or making mistake, or maybe even we misunderstand that they're sinning. So, but in order to clear up the issue, we go care enough to talk. And I tell you one thing, that sometimes communication take a lot of effort. I remember that many times Pastor Da have to tell me about some issue in my life about 20 times before I get it. I didn't get it the first time. And she come back to me again and say, "Honey, this is wrong." And I say, "No, I don't think so." It takes long suffering of people to keep communicating, to keep talking. So don't give up easily. You know, if your husband don't understand that he is doing wrong, don't give up. Keep going back lovingly and gently and try to communicate in a different way. Amen. Don't give up. If your friend in the care group don't understand, don't give up. Go and talk until the communication is clear. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible talking about caring. If you care enough, you communicate. Brother and sister, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help make him right again. Amen. So we need to help one another by communication. We don't want superficial relationship in the church. Let's say at the same time, we don't want superficial fellowship. But why most of the groups, either social club or any organization or even marriage, many marriages, many fellowship groups stay superficial? Why? Because they are afraid of conflict. How many people like conflict? No one likes conflict. Is that right? No one likes conflict. It really wears you down. It really makes you tired when you face conflict. But it's a fact of life that if you don't deal with it and resolve the conflict, it will even wear you down more later on. So you have to deal with it soon. So people don't like conflict. Then people know that if you go face to face and talk, you may cause tension. You may cause discomfort. Therefore, people try to hide it and don't want to talk about it. A lot of people in the world want to be Mr. Don't Rock the Boat. Because if you say something, you're going to rock the boat. Amen? So a lot of people want to be Mr. Don't Rock the Boat. So they keep the underlying frustration inside them, and one day they blow up. I think that's what happened to a lot of divorces. The husband or the wife kept inside the frustration. I don't want to rock the boat here. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be honest to my husband. I don't want to be honest to my wife. Keep inside, and one day just blow up and walk away from marriage. Pack the luggage and go. So, if you know the problem, talk it to that person. Straightforward. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, chapter 4, verse 25, in the Message translation, no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other. After all, When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Another word, I like message, huh? Translation, very easy. So another word, this finger connect to the body. If you cut your finger, the finger, not only the finger hurts, your body hurts. Infection may go into your heart and lung. Eventually you get sepsis, because sepsis, and die. So the same thing, if you keep lying to one another, eventually you're going to hurt the whole body. The whole body going to get hurt. That's what the Bible tried to say here. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. In other words, you end up killing yourself. You end up hurting yourself. So that's why we need to keep the truth. Amen. So, in any fellowship, whether marriage, whether church fellowship, any friendship, if you want to build those relationships, you need to be frank. You need to be honest. I have learned one thing in life is this, and I believe that many of you agree with me. In fact, conflict that happened, somebody may not like something, and then maybe he or she think that this person is wrong and cause tension and conflict. And these two person come and talk and deal with the issue until it's resolved. This communication to resolve the conflict is a pathway to intimacy in any relationship. In other words, conflict that is resolved in a godly way will bring even closer relationship and friendship between these two persons. How many people have that experience? Is that right? You know, sometimes you have problem with some member in the church and you go and talk for a few hours and eventually resolve. Wow, do you feel that you love that person more? You feel like, wow, it's so wonderful. Now I understand him. Now I understand her. Because the communication rise up and talk. So it's so good. You know that we talk honestly to one another. But you talk with the attitude that I'm going to resolve the problem. Not to kill each other, okay? The attitude is to care enough to help one another. Not to get rid of one another. Amen? So it's about caring enough to resolve the problem. So, if any conflict is handled correctly, we will grow closer to each other by resolving our differences. So it's good. You need to think this way. God work all good for those who love Him. Amen. Amen. But the key is not to run away. If I have conflict with my wife, we resolve the conflict. After that, we love each other more. I should not choose the divorce way. I should choose the way of resolving the conflict. Amen? In the family. So, but I want to be clear here one thing. Come to this point, you say, oh, now, from now on, I'm going to go to everybody's face. And I'm going to, during church service, if pastor walk in, and I don't like what he do, I'm going to go to his face right now and tell him what is wrong in his face. I want to tell you right now, frankness. Now come to the practical point. Frankness and not honesty is not a license to say anything what you want to say. Wherever you want to say. Whenever you want to say. Or to whoever you want to say. Frankness is not a license. Let me repeat one more time. Frankness is not a license for you to be rude. Frankness is not rudeness. Frankness is not a license to go to say whatever you want to say. Whenever you want to say. To whoever you want to say. Because that is called rudeness, not frankness. Amen. I give you example. For example, if my patient is dying from cancer, and I can notice that the patient is not ready to hear that, I may not walk in and say, oh, Mr. John, so-and-so, you know, I tell you the truth. You have brain cancer and you're going to die in two days. That is rudeness. Because I'm not sensitive to that person, whether he's ready to hear or not. So I cannot just say whatever I want to say and wherever I want to say and to whoever. I may need to back off a little bit. Let that person think about a little bit and then go back maybe 3 days later and say, this is serious. Do you have any more questions? You see what I mean? This is called wisdom. This is called love. Speaking the truth in love means you need to know when to talk, how to talk, what kind of word you need to talk, where, who, how, when. Amen? So, for example, if your wife came home from work very tired, the traffic is so bad, the boss has yelled at her, and she walked in and you right away blast on her at the door. Honey, you didn't clean up the kitchen this morning. I tell you, you're going to have a big fight. Because that is rude. That is not frankness. That is rude. That is not Christian character. You need to depend on the wisdom of God to see when, where, everything. Amen. You remember when I shared on Sunday that when John first came here. No, this is not a secret. Everyone know. John first came to our church. John, you know who John is. I remember the first few years, I have a trouble because you need to understand as a pastor, every Sunday morning before I came, I have to pray in tongue. In the car, I pray in tongue. I try to hook up to the Holy Spirit. I try to listen to God. I try to not think about the world, not think about my job, not thinking about any problem. I just want to hear from God. I want to move. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to really move in the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, people come to me when I walk into the door and say, hey, pastor, you have a problem. You know, it's not the right timing because I need to be hooked up to the Holy Spirit. At that time, I don't need to hear the problem. I understand now why some pastors have bodyguard when they walk into the church. Now, I understand sometimes when people come and talk to me like that, I almost say, can I have a bodyguard? Because not that I am afraid people can attack me, but because I need some room to be in tune with God at that moment because another 250 people are waiting for this pastor to preach the word and to minister. So I don't have time to deal with problem right now. Don't talk to me right now. You see, that is rudeness. To talk to the man of God who's going to start to minister in a few minutes. Or the same thing, you notice one thing, when I go to any care group visit, I never go and tell the care group leader the problem with that care group at that minute. I just sit there and watch, participate. But I would choose to talk to the care group leader at the end or later on. Because I know that if I talk at that moment, the care group leader will be discouraged, will be very burdened and cannot read the care group. So you need to wait for the timing too, if you love somebody. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 6 say, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter. Everyone say, proper time. And procedure, proper procedure. For every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. So in other words, if you don't do the right way, you're going to wait on people and make people have misery in their life. So please love one another enough not to wait on people. Thoughtless words leave lasting wounds. You have to be careful. Thoughtless words. Watch your mouth carefully. I make mistakes here. Don't take me wrong. I'm not perfect. I make some mistake in saying wrong thing. But we all can improve. Don't say anything, blast out of your mouth too quickly. Think before you say, because thoughtless words leave lasting wounds. Yesterday, Pastor Da said one sentence to one of our members that, you know, don't rush to say those kind of things to people. And that member said, why? I think I have the right to say it. And Pastor Da answered, because if you cause the hurt and the wound in that person, it's so long and hard to heal. You don't want to stir up the wound. You don't need to go and put the iodine into the flesh wound on people, make people get upset because it's burning. So you need to be careful not to cause even the wound get worse. You need to heal people. Amen? That's why make this decision. Whatever we're going to talk to each other in the church or in a family, we need to think this way. This is a loving family. We're going to talk to each other lovingly. Look at what the Bible say. Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Never use harsh words. Oh, I love all this scripture. You know, it's so good. If you listen to this CD one more time, I believe your life will never be the same, because it's kind of good reminding. Never use harsh words when you correct an older man, but talk to him as if he were your father. Talk to younger men as if they were your brothers. Think about it. Older women as if they were your mothers. And younger women as if they were your sisters. In other words, you need to treat each other in the church as a family. Amen. You need to treat each other with respect. When you talk to an elder or older person, talk with respect. Amen. When you talk to an older woman in the church, talk like you talk to your mom. Don't yell at her. Don't give her a hard time. When you talk to a younger woman, talk to her like your sister. She was created in the image of God. Don't use sarcastic words. Don't give people a hard time. You know, talk gently, lovingly, respect one another. Amen. Amen. Remember this scripture. So, unfortunately, a lot of time we lack honesty in the church and allow immorality and allow sin to spread all over the church without having somebody talk to that person in an honest way. And that's why Apostle Paul warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that he wrote a letter to the church in verses 3 to 12. He said like this in message translation. You must not simply look the other way and hope it goes away on its own. In other words, Paul said, when you see sin, don't just look away and say, oh, it's going to go away. Paul said, try to say, don't ignore the sin in the church. Bring it out in the open and deal with it. Wow, very simple language, huh, in message. Better devastation and embarrassment than damnation. You pass it off as a small thing, but it's anything but that you should not act as if everything is just fine when one of your Christian companions is promiscuous or crooked, is flipped with God or rude to friends, gets drunk or becomes greedy or predatory. You can't just go along with this, treating it as acceptable behavior. I'm not responsible for what the outsiders do, but don't we have some responsibility for those within our community of believers? Amen? Amen. So number one, honesty. We should warn one another in love at the right timing. Wait for the right timing. Use the right word. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom when, where, how, who to talk. Don't use your flesh to blast it out. Don't go by the flesh. Go by the Holy Spirit whenever you talk. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit never contradicts the character of God. Number two, building God's community requires humility. Everyone say humility. Self-importance and stubborn pride destroy fellowship faster than atomic bomb. Self-importance. You know, if you notice one thing, when I wrote email, I rarely use the word I. When I talk about our church, I use the word we. Because every time I begin to say I, it means I cannot promote myself. But we together, serving together. Humble yourself. Give all the glory to God. Give all the honor to God. Whatever good things happen, just give honor to God. You are just the vessel. It's like almost like this. Jesus was sitting in the back of a donkey that he ride into Jerusalem. And everyone put the carpet on, wave the palm tree, you know, wave the palm. And the donkey walk in with Jesus on the back. And the donkey walk like this. Look at me. Look at me. Everyone just wave the leaf over me, put the carpet, put the clothes on for me to walk. But the donkey forget one thing. They wave because Jesus was on his back. This is sometimes people forget that all the good things that happen in our life because Jesus is in us. not because of our goodness. So we should be humble. We should not act like that, like a donkey that look very prideful and say, look at me. These people praise me. No, they praise Jesus. We are just the vessel. We cannot boast anything. Actually, it's the grace of God that God uses us to take care of that sheep. We have no right even to boast that I am a care group leader. If God doesn't give you the position to be care group leader, you cannot be anyway. It's all by the grace of God. That's why we need to stay humble. Pride builds walls, but humility builds bridges. Interesting. 2 days ago, I was operating in the Overlake Hospital. And I told the whole room that, a few days ago, we were talking about humility in the church, and I need to go say sorry to people and all this, and people kind of shocked. And the nurse say, really? I think that the word humble in America means weakness. Means that you're weak, that you are humble. And then they start to discuss about this, when I talk about it. And then another people say, no, humility is not weakness. But another lady say, no, but in our point of view as American, humility is weakness. And eventually somebody say, no, humility is strength. So actually, humility is a strength, it's not weakness. Amen? You humble yourself before God. Humility is like an oil that soothes the relationship. How many people like to be around prideful people? I don't like it. It really bothers me. I don't like prideful people. I like humble people. The Bible says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Clothe yourself. You need to do something about it. God is not going to do it for you. You need to make a decision to be humble. Clothe yourself with humility. And then the Bible continues to say, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many people God to be opposing to you? How many people want God's opposition? God go against you. I don't want it. If you walk in pride, God can oppose you. I want God to be on my side. I want the grace of God in my life. So in order to get the grace of God, we need to be humble. Amen. I don't want God to be against me. I want God to be on my side. I don't want God to oppose me. Amen. If we want to be healed, we want to be blessed by God, we want to have anointing, we want to be helped by God, we want to have a favor of God, the key is humility. Amen. It doesn't matter what background you come from. You may be a doctor, nurse, a great businessman. You own a company. You may be a great teacher. You may have $2 or $3 million in your bank account. It doesn't matter. You need to be humble. Don't use those reasons to boast about it. Actually, Apostle Paul say those things are rubbish. You know what rubbish means in the Greek language? It means what? Who knows? Huh? Trash. But actually worse than trash in the original Greek language that I don't want to say. The original Greek language, worse than trash. Okay? You can ask me later on. I don't want to say that word in this CD. Okay. It's worse than trash. So, everything in our life that we can boast about, like a trash, rubbish, or worse than the trash. Okay. So, we need to, how we can, in a practical way, how can we develop humility? I give you example. Number one, admitting your weaknesses. Every one of us has certain weaknesses and has certain strength. We need to admit our weaknesses. Number two, we can show humility by being patient with other people's weaknesses. I think this is hard. Sometimes you can admit your weaknesses, but you don't want to be patient with other people's weaknesses. Why cannot you improve? Why don't you change now? Why don't you do the way I like? You know, this is not humility. Humility, you are patient and you welcome, you receive people even though they are weak. Amen? Amen. Not only that, to show humility, you open to correction.
to other people correction. Amen. It's a humble experience when people correct you. Another way, practical way to show humility is to point the spotlight on other people. Don't point the spotlight to yourself, but put the spotlight on others. Honor other people. The Bible says like this in Romans chapter 12 verse 16 in NLT, New Living Translation. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Wow, very simple, huh? We need to learn this, that we don't know it all. Amen? We don't know everything. We should not try to act like we are important. Actually, we still need to learn and grow more. Learn how to live with other people in harmony. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 say, give more honor to others than to yourself. Do not be interested only in your own life. You know, people who are prideful are interested in their own life more than anything else. But be interested in the lives of others. Amen? So, to be humble doesn't mean that you think, listen carefully, may be confusing here. To be humble doesn't mean you think less of yourself. What does it mean you think less of yourself? I give you an example. You may be very anointed in the area of teaching. And you kept saying, no, I cannot teach. I cannot teach. No, I'm not going to teach. Pastor asked me to teach. No, I cannot teach. That is you think less of yourself. Think less about yourself. That is not true humility. That is false humility. If you can teach, you say, yes, I can. I am anointed to teach. But true humility is to think of yourself less. That is true humility. True humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself. You know your strength. You know your weakness. You know what you can do. But you think of yourself less. And you think of others more. Another word. If you're going to go to mission trip to Thailand with me, for example. You are not thinking this way. Oh, these people need me. I'm so anointed in this area. I'm going to go and blast it out. I'm going to go and just show them how great I am. That is pride. But on another hand, you go with this thinking. God give me the grace, the anointing. I would like to really see these people blessed by the anointing through my life. I think about them, how it can help them. How these people are going to grow. How these people are going to love God more. You think about other people more than yourself. You see what I mean? This is important. That you need to always think about other people. What are we going to do to bless other people? Not about me, 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 me. So that is true humility. For people who are humble will focus on serving others. People who are prideful will focus on serving me. What can people do for me? What can I do so that I can get reputation in the church? But people who are humble will always think, what can I serve other people? Others. Everyone say others. Amen. So number two, building God's community require humility, require honesty. Number three, building God's community requires courtesy. Ah, I like this one. Courtesy. Romans chapter 15 verse 2. I read from NIV. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Oh, this is a powerful scripture. All of us should think what we should think. We should think about how I can build people up. How I can please people so that they can grow. That is courtesy. Being courteous. You will say it right? Courteous. If I'm wrong, tell me. Courteous, okay? It's a difficult word for me. Titus chapter 3 verse 2. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate. Everyone say considerate. You know, this is a very important character that we need to build in our life. To be courteous. To be considerate. to show true humility toward all men. 1 Peter 3:8. I loved all this scripture. It's so wonderful, so powerful. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender hearted and be courteous. What does it mean, courtesy? Courtesy means respecting our differences. Everyone say, respecting our differences. In other words, don't expect other people to be like you. And you need to respect their differences from you. Amen. Some of us may be very good in computer, and some of us very weak in computer. You don't go and say, you don't know computer. Why? Are you living in the 21st century? You know, you think this way, then you don't respect their weaknesses and their differences from you. But they may be very good cook, but you don't know how to cook. You see what I mean? They will talk back to you. You never go into the kitchen? You know what I mean? If people have this kind of attitude, it means they don't have courtesy. Courtesy means that you need to respect the differences. Amen. I enjoy seeing Pastor Da working with Don Smith. Totally different characteristic and personality and gifting. Oh, it's so wonderful to see their differences. But they have courtesy on one another. Don Smith show courtesy to Pastor Da, they respect her way. And Pastor Da respect his way. And they respect one another because they, even though they are so differences, they are so different and have major differences in their life. So courtesy means respecting our differences. Number two, it means being considerate of each other's feelings. So Steve, you need to be considerate of Jar's feeling. Don't just get your way all the time. Amen. Be considerate of her feelings. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we have human nature. My way, my way. I don't care what you feel. You know, sometimes we need to give people the benefit of doubt. We have a tendency this way. We see somebody come in and have some, like, do something like you don't like, and you right away in your mind you judge. Wow, this person is ungodly, very bad, and all this. You know, I do this all the time. I have to admit that I'm human. But lately, God really deal with me. God say, huh? God, like this to me. He slapped on my face. He knocked on my head. He said, stop, mom. You have no right to judge them. Because you don't know what they are going through right now. Maybe the dog just died and he loved the dog so much and he come in with a long face and you judge that person that why you look so down today. No, you don't have the right to judge anyone. You need to be considerate to other people's feelings. Amen. Amen. Be careful. Hallelujah. Be not only that, number three, having courtesy also mean to be patient with people who irritate us. Smile. This is a hard one. Courtesy means respect other people's difference. Mean be considerate of each other's feeling. Three, be patient with people who irritate me. I believe that in any church, in any care group, there will be, God allows, by the grace of God, to allow to have at least one difficult person in that care group. In any church, in any eldership group, there's going to be one person that's very difficult to deal with. And sometimes more than one. Praise God. Because it's a special time to build your character. These people usually have special emotional needs. Amen. Like last Sunday, John came out and admitted that he was wrong. You know, if you look at his background, you should not be mad at him. You know why? Because this man grew up in the street. No parents. People abused him. People sold him for money. He
He used his body to be sold for money. He was abused. He was rejected. So when he come into the community like this, he tend to look for attention. You see what I mean? So he gonna look for attention. He gonna. So you need to look at it. Okay, this man needs a special emotional need. I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna win him by love. Some people are so difficult. Why? Because they have deep need of insecurity. They are so insecure. So they need to look for attention all the time. You know, sometimes the personality of people come out from deep wound inside. Something going on there. Or some people have irritating mannerism. Have you seen that those people in the group? Very irritating. Very difficult. Or some people have poor social skill. When they eat, and then put finger in the nose, and never comb the hair, dressed with a cloth that never been washed for 10 years, come in and you have to kind of stop breathing for a while. You know, have a very poor social skill. And not only that, sometimes people who are difficulty, don't laugh. Another group of people that very difficult to deal with. And you think that, oh, only these people who are weak in certain personality. I tell you, another group of people very irritating to you are those who have great talents that intimidate you. Ooh. Is that right? Somebody really great talent, they come in, they know everything, they talk about computer, bam, bam, use the high word thing, oh, high technological word, you know, load on that, and then, I don't even know the computer word anymore, I just, no, and you sit there, what? And you, it's so intimidating, it's so hard to deal with this person because they're so talented. You cannot even talk to that person, the language is like this. He talk this language, you talk this language. So it's difficult for you to relate to that person. These people need extra grace from you. And you need to show, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to show, to grow. God allow these kind of people to come into your life so that you learn to grow. If everyone is nice like Victor and Masako, you don't need to practice character. Is that right? Everyone is so nice, like Neil and Mary Jo. Oh, you don't need to learn how to grow because you can just be like in heaven. But not heaven all the time. Sometimes people are difficult to deal with. Amen. No matter who they are and how difficult they have, what kind of difficulty they have, we need to treat them with dignity. Amen. Why? Because our relationship is not based on people talent, people financial situation, beauty, or smartness. Our relationship is based on only one thing. God. We are in the same family of God. And we are brother and sister who belong to God and belong to each other. So your foundation to relate to one another is not about somebody is nice to you. In the church. That is the worldly thinking. You notice that if you go to the doctor's club, all of them are doctors. So their basis of relationship is everyone is MD. I remember when in Thailand there is a club called Polo Club. All the people there who go there must have at least certain amount of salary to get in there. So they're based on financial strength. But in a church, the basis of relationship is not on depending upon financial status, ethnic group, language, but it's based on we have the same father and we are in the same family. Therefore, we need to protect one another. We need to defend one another. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be devoted to each other like a loving family in Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Excel in showing respect to each other. You're going to face people with annoying traits. But I want to tell you, repeat one more time, our community here does not depend on or does that have nothing to do with compatibility. The world depends on compatibility. But in the church, it's not about compatibility. It's about we are God's family. And we make a decision to love one another as brother and sister, no matter even though we may not be compatible. And it's beautiful. Amen. One, I'm going to close in courtesy here, quickly here, and go on. And I continue teaching next time. One key to courtesy is to understand where people are coming from. Everyone say, I will understand where people are coming from. I try to understand Japanese. I try to understand Americans. I try to understand Latino. Latino are very family oriented. So we try to understand Victor and Lorena and the whole Latino group. Because we need to understand where they are coming from. They have different culture. They have different viewpoint and thinking. Therefore, we need to discover people's culture, background, history. You need to understand where they have been through in their life. What they have been through in their life. Some people come from a loving home. Some people come from a broken home. Somebody may have a broken heart for 10 times. So scared about the woman. Because broken heart 10 times already. So you need to understand where people are coming from. I want to teach you this. Listen carefully. This is the key of building relationship with anyone in the world. Instead of thinking about how far they still have to go. Listen carefully. This is going to help you. This is going to set you free. This is how I use it as a pastor. All this year, I can continue to be a pastor because I think this way. Instead of thinking how far they have to go, think about how far they have come in spite of their hurts and difficulties. I never look at people how far they have to go, because if I look like that, I'm going to condemn them all the time. They're still far away from God's perfection. I look at this. Oh, now look at Romero. Romero is like this now. Look at 3 months ago. He has come far away. Thank God. Amen. Instead of, Romero, you haven't been like me yet. You bad. No. Romero, in the past 1 year of becoming a Christian, he has come this far. Look at Alex. He has come so far. Yeah. So if I can think this way, I appreciate everyone. Yeah. I appreciate my wife because she has come so far in her life. Amen. Instead of looking at her and say, when are you going to become like Jesus? You know, it's going to take some time. Doesn't happen overnight. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing that we need to do in courtesy. Do not downplay other people's weaknesses and doubts and fear. Amen. People may come to you. People may really struggle. Don't downplay. Understand and comfort them. Don't look down. You know, sometimes perfectionist people tend to be like, you don't know. This is a piece of cake. You tend to have that kind of attitude. Hey, piece of cake. But you forget that 10 years ago you were like that. And that's what is called self-righteousness. You look down on people who are still struggling, but you forgot that 10 years ago you were struggling too. Courtesy, understand people's doubt and weakness and fear. Amen. I hope you listen to this teaching again and again, because I think this is the key to really becoming a good leader in the church. Because you need to teach people, you need to show example to people and get along with people. I think I should stop here. But before I stop, I want to say one thing that God wants me to say quickly here. And then we ask people to come and share. I just want to speak to in my heart one thing, that I want all of us to pray every day and meditate on this every day and think about it and put into action. God spoke to me many times and I kept forgetting to tell people that we need to make a decision to be righteously proud of our own church. We need to get rid of all the negative thinkings about our church. Oh, the chair is not good enough. Oh, the carpet is not nice enough. Oh, we don't have a nice building. Oh, they don't have this and that. All the negative thinking, you know. It's not going to build a church. That is the trap of the enemy. I want to tell you, I'm proud of this church. Amen. And you know, when you feel that way, that you are proud of your church, you will invite friends. When I invite my patients to come here, I never feel embarrassed at all. I feel that they're going to come to a good place, a safe place. This is a good church with good word, godly, loving people. They're going to come to know Ginny, and then they come to know Katie and know Alex and all these good people. They're going to be set free. They're going to be healed. This is a good church. I'm going to invite as many people as I can. I'm going to put the church card in my pocket, and I'm going to give to everyone. I'm going to email people, come to my church. You know, I think this is one thing that I believe we are lacking in our church, because the devil has been lying to us all this time. Oh, it's okay. We have only 200 people. We are okay. We don't need to grow anymore. Our church have a lot of weaknesses. You know, if people come, they may look down. That is doubt. That is not faith. We are not walking by faith. If you think that we're negative, oh, people come, they will not join us. If people come, they will not like us. No, we are good because we have a good God. Amen. We are a good church. Go to University of Washington, tell up your medical student, I have a good church, come here. You're going to love it. You need to be excited about it. You need to tell people about it. Instead of say, are you sure you come to my church? If you say, no, if you even not convinced, how people are going to come? You know what I mean? Be proud. This is good. You know you're proud of Jesus. This is the body. You need to understand, this church is a body of Christ. If you are not proud of this church, you are not proud of a body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Even Baptist people are proud of their own denomination. You talk to all the Baptists, I'm Southern Baptist. When I talk to Lutheran, I'm a Lutheran. When you talk to Methodist, I'm Methodist. Is it true? Oh, all of my patients, when they wrote down, what church you go? I'm a Baptist. Good. And I say, why? We should do the same thing. We should say, I am in this revival church. God is moving. Good church. Last Sunday, one man came here, pray for, accept the Holy Spirit, pray, speak in tongue. He go to his church for a long time. He never, one American lady here, sitting here, who want to go to missionary in Thailand, being a Christian for a long time, never speak in tongue, come and lay hand on her, she spoke in tongue. God is moving in our church. Why aren't we proud of our church? We should. I want all of us to, from now on, change the style, okay? From now on, you go to care group. You go to anywhere, you say, oh, I'm in a good church. I have a great pastor. I have a great pastor wife. I have a great leadership. Everyone is so loving. You speak positive. And you know what? When you say like that, it can happen. I'm going to be a good pastor. Amen. Because you speak by faith. Amen. But you keep saying, oh, he's lousy. I'm going to be lousy. Is that right? You need to speak positive. Speak positive about yourself, about your own church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so can I say here? Okay, so from now on, I'm going to keep reminding you to be proud of your church and go out and tell people to come. Invite bunch of people. Go out and pick up the card, give to people. Don't be shy. Don't be feel intimidated. You come, you're going to be blessed. Yes. You will be blessed. Yes. In this house. Have faith. You're going to be healed. Look at Bangkok. People get healed every Sunday. Last Sunday, one new believer, a teenager, had stomach pain for a long time. The parent brought him to church. He got saved. Fall under the power, get up, all the stomach pain healed. Because you know what? I believe that one of the attitudes is that they're all proud of their church. They believe miracle going to happen this Sunday. Something going to, you need to walk by faith. Something going to happen this Sunday. I'm going to come to church on Sunday with excitement. Thing gonna happen. We have good people. We have anointed people. Our worship team is anointed. Our greeter is anointed. Our care group leader is anointed. Amen. Think positive. Please don't entertain any negative criticism from the devil. All those negative thinking come from the enemy, and it will destroy the church. We need to get rid. I don't listen to the devil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, please.
Repeat one more time. Yeah, go ahead. We invited a Seattle U student over last week, Mark and Janelle. And what happened was the day before they came over for dinner, and he came into our shop and he go, "Do you just speak in tongue?" And we go, "Yes." And we go like, "Opportunity." And he go like, "I cannot speak in tongue. I've been going to church for so long. I cannot speak in tongue. And people have been praying in my church for so long for me. I still cannot speak in tongue." And I go like, "Tomorrow you're going to speak in tongue. You come to my church."
Hey. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So he, I said, "You got to come, you know, da, da, da." And then he came, and we call his friend from the same church they go to. And we go like, "You coming to my church tomorrow?" And he go, and she go, "Am I?" I said, "Yes, you're coming to my church tomorrow."
He said, "Excitement."
So they came, we picked them up, they came, and he didn't want to go out to be prayed for. And we go, and Jonathan went to tell Pastor Lau. So Pastor Lau looked at Mark, and he go like, "Okay." So he went out, and he go like, "I want to receive the Holy Spirit." And he spoke in tongue. And he fell down, and I saw him try to get up. He couldn't get up. And when he finally get up, he just don't know what to do with himself. He's like, "Whoa, I feel this all over my body," you know. He's like, he was so excited. And Janelle went to meet the pastor.
Another lady.
And she just wanted to say hi to the pastor. And I really wanted Pastor Lau to pray for her. And Pastor Lau, thank God for Pastor Da. She asked Janelle, "You want to be prayed for?" And she's like, "Okay." And Pastor Lau prophesies over her. And she was crying. And she sit here after she got prayed for. She sit here. She didn't know what to do with herself. She didn't know what to say. So we thought, okay, let them kind of like calm down for a while first. We took them to dim sum. And then we asked them, "So, what do you think?" And they go like, "Your church is so powerful. Your pastor is so powerful." You know? And Janelle said that whatever Pastor Lau prophesies over her, she has been praying over it for years. And everything was right on the dot, you know. And we are so proud of him. And both of them are so on fire for God, they don't know what to do in themselves. They have been coming to our shop every day. and we say, "You know, you're more than welcome to come to our church," because we know they're committed to another church. And they go, "We will visit again." So praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.